everybody, and welcome to Threat Level Podcast, the oh my god.
Have you seen that commercial of the old guy who can't say, like, flaky crust?
Eventually you'll set all of the words and Jamie can just piece them together. Yeah.
Hello everybody, and welcome to Threat Level Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the office. Everybody, and welcome to Threat Level Podcast, the podcast where we talk about The Office. I'm Bethany.
I'm Justin.
I'm Madison.
I'm Subi.
And I'm Jamie.
Full panel!
Yay!
Yay, we're all here today.
Yep.
And we made it through the intro in one piece.
Yes, we did.
Barely.
That took a long time.
That was
after 17 tries.
So, I'm the question asker today, and I'm pretty much just going to look at a question and ask it, and that's just going to be what it is,
because
I hate picking these. All right, in your opinion, what movie should never be remade?
Ooh.
Ugh.
Sorry.
Ooh.
Okay.
Varsity
Blues.
Ooh,
and I'm
going to
go for Varsity Blues. because it was so bad.
Does it have to be one that was already remade and sucked, or just like one that hasn't been remade yet and we don't
one that hasn't, I would say.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see.
Well, I know that there's one that they're planning to remake that I strongly disagree with.
Is it Hocus Pocus?
And it is Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah.
What?
They are planning a remake of Hocus Pocus, and I can just see that it is going to suck on every single level.
Oh, no.
I know.
Is it the same actresses or no?
No, no. Different people. I'm sure it'll be totally terrible.
Are there trailers for this?
I know. It's not that far along in production.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
Because they see, because everybody's hyped it up so much the past couple of years.
Yeah.
That, like,
they can make
they
money.
They just
want to
make some money.
This is the time to remake it, if you remake it.
That's awful.
The internet has made it more popular than it ever has been.
Well, right, but
people love
the nostalgia.
Well, it's because it's great the way that
it
is.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be remade.
Yeah, but they can make more money. That's all
but
they
I don't
care
think they
about.
Will. I think it'll maybe like opening night, people will be like, ooh, and then it'll quickly spread that it's the shittiest film ever.
Yeah, I will never see it. I can't
kind
even picture
like
myself
Beauty
watching a trailer for it.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast wasn't like the.
What's the.
It was going to say, what the way they did it with like the live action. Is that live action when it's with real people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't dislike it, I thought it was well done.
I haven't seen the new one. With Emma Watson?
Yeah, with Emma Watson. Because taking a Disney film and making it with real people, I was leery, but it was really well done. I didn't not like that.
Say what?
Did you see Beastly?
Beastly.
Beauty and the Beastly.
Wait, wasn't that from like the 80s?
No, it was from Vanessa Hudgens was in it.
With
some hot guy. But then he was turned into an ugly guy.
No, I don't remember.
No.
But he was still pretty hot. When he was the
ogre. Oh, I'm sure.
Can't have any Uggos on TV.
But no.
With Vanessa Hudgens does not work with Uggos.
It's in her contract.
As per her contract.
Yeah, won't kiss Uggos.
That's a good answer. I am going to piggyback off that and just say all of the Disney films.
No, Jamie, you can't.
Yes. Well,
as the question asker, I cannot allow that to happen.
Because they're apparently redoing. Okay, so they redid Beauty and the Beast. They're redoing Aladdin. They're redoing like all of them, and it's kind of like I think people don't understand that
they're doing a live action Aladdin.
Yeah. And the good
really
thing is that I think they're trying to get a non.
Lion King too.
I think they're trying to get a non-white cast, which is really cool. But
okay.
For the rest
Wait,
of it,
the Lion
it's
King.
For
yeah, but that one's going to be animated. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's fine.
No, it's
well,
going to be
I
done
am,
with real
see,
lions.
See, I don't even
so
know
much peanut
fine.
Butter. Just did you all the peanut butter?
Well, did you guys see the what is it called? The Jungle Book one that came out a couple years ago?
I didn't see it, no.
Like, that wasn't even good. Like, they
But that's pretty
but
impressive
like,
that like, little boy did all of that with it's just him and a green screen.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. But it's kind of like they're... It's tough in general to transpose something from, like, cartoon where anything can happen into live action, as you guys know with Attack on Titan. But like, so I don't understand why, like, I understand why they're doing it because people love Disney and they want to revitalize that and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, put that effort towards making new films that people will like instead of trying to redo stuff.
Okay.
Because people like nostalgia because they like watching things because it's like has a nostalgic value to it. But that doesn't mean that everyone's going to love a new live action blah, blah, blah.
And now, obviously, I know Jamie's answer to this. But like everyone else, do you think that it's really remaking a movie if you're making a movie that was a cartoon live action?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same story, but it's told in such a different way that I don't know. In my mind, that's not really remaking it. Like taking an old movie like Hocus Pocus and casting a new cast in it and remaking the movie, that's like a remake to me. But taking something that was not acted to begin with, just voice acted, and portraying it with real people, like that's not the same thing to me. I mean, like if they were remaking it as a different cartoon with different types of animation, that would be a remake of it, and I wouldn't approve of that. But like doing live action versions of cartoons doesn't bother me as much.
But you have to think also, like, it's going to be a remake in the sense that like the new generation growing up will be like, that will be their Beauty and the Beast film.
But I don't think so. Cartoons will always appeal to kids. They're always going to want to watch the cartoon version of it. And I feel like the live action is more for the adults, for the people who watch the cartoon as a kid and still enjoy the story as an adult kind of thing.
I suppose. Thoughts, Justin, Bethany? Did you guys cut out again?
We didn't.
I heard.
We just came back. The last thing I heard was "That's fine." After I said about him in the green screen.
Oh dear!
Really?
We talked
missed
all
a lot
about
of the conversation.
we missed all of it.
The films, but it's like.
That's okay.
Well, you'll just have to tune in to find out what we said.
Yeah. Ooh, you just missed us.
Intrigue.
Kind of
Okay, I guess I'll pick mine before I cut out forever.
Okay.
I hope they never remake The Goonies.
Oh, that's a good one.
I would get so upset. I would probably cry.
Yeah. I can see that happening, though. I can see that happening.
I can see it happening, too, especially with how Stranger Things is popular right now.
Yeah.
I can absolutely see it happening. And now, like, Sean Astin was in it and everything like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Sean Astin would definitely be like a guest in the Goonies remake.
If they no, it would be awful. Even if they got every cast member to come back, it would be terrible.
Yeah.
You can't you can't relive that magic.
I agree.
That's a good one.
Justin?
I really don't like this question.
Too bad.
Like, just gotta choose, man.
I don't like... Well,
next week, you
like,
can be
there
the
is
question
no,
asker.
There's no movie that I would say, like, I hope that never gets remade. Like, that to me says that, like, you have this, like, opinion of a movie that, like it hasn't even been conceived yet, and you're saying, like, it's awful.
But hold
because
on.
You can't try to relive that feeling that you got whenever you first watched the movie. Like, the emotional attachment you have.
There's no
it.
Saying that, like, the remake has to... I'm
getting mad.
That the remake has to, like, try to achieve the same thing that movie did. Like, the Goonies remake could try to reach a modern audience in a way that, like, the old one isn't.
Okay, but the reason the first one got created was for the love of the story. The reason the second one gets recreated is because they're money-hungry just squats.
Yeah, but, like, that's when if you're going to say that, then, like, yeah, there are movies that I could say, like, I hope that people don't get their greedy hands in. But even then, it's not like some zero-sum thing where because you're making this, I have to appreciate the Goonies less.
Well, no, not at all. But it's just, like, you've definitely experienced, surely, that moment where, like, you see something coming up for, like, a trailer for a new movie, a remake, and you're like, what's the point of remaking this?
The new Jumanji remake looks
like,
really
yes,
stupid.
See?
Yes, perfect.
That's what I mean.
Well, okay.
But now kids are going to watch this and think that that is Jumanji.
Exactly.
Like, they're not going to even bother with the old, like, they're not going to know. And
the original one is, like, 100% amazing.
The new Jumanji I get so mad thinking about it. How dare they?
Yeah, but, like, doesn't it make you want to watch the original Jumanji?
It makes
like,
us
to say,
want to, yes. But
it hurts to know that somebody sold, like, somebody who is involved in the original movie is somewhat involved in this. Like, it hurts. Because yeah. they have to be, whether just like giving permission or whatever, they have to be at least a little bit responsible for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, if you said to me that, you know, we're remaking the Goonies, I would be like, why? Like, you could just watch the Goonies. It would be fun to just watch the Goonies again. Mm-hmm. But it also, like, I also can appreciate that, like, maybe a kid nowadays would look at, like, the grainy film of the 80s and be like, that is not interesting at all. I know that when I look at, like, movies from the 70s and stuff, and, like, I see the hair, and I see the film quality, and I see the colors, I think, like, I check out immediately.
But why does that mean that we need to remake films? Why can't we just make a new film?
Come up with some new ideas.
You can, absolutely, but I'm not going to automatically write off your remake just because it's something that I hold, like, the original is something that I hold dear.
I don't understand. I can't understand. I can't wrap my mind around.
Because you could make a good, tasteful Goonies that, like, feels just like the original.
No, you couldn't. No. Oh, everybody's cutting out again.
Well, at least everyone else can chime in now.
Oh man, that's gonna be. I just don't even know what's gonna happen when.
Yeah,
this podcast is gonna be like listening to it for the first time.
All right, Sibi, do yours quickly before they're gone again.
All right, probably a 2001: A Space Odyssey. It like okay. it was made I think like in the 1960s, and the special effects like still hold up to this day. Because it was like, mm-hmm. it wasn't made with computer graphics. It was made with, like actual models of like the spaceships. And, there are like, monkeys in that movie. And they had people dress as monkeys. And it was just, Kubrick is just such an amazing filmmaker that I don't think anyone would be able to do justice to a remake. And yeah. I don't think any of his movies have been remade.
Probably he doesn't want them to be.
That could be
because he probably has some say into it.
Well, he's dead.
Well.
So.
Oh, and he has less say.
maybe his family has the rights to it, and they're like releasing it. But I mean, but that's an example where someone could be like, okay, well, it's past 2001 or whatever.
Right.
Let's do 3001: A Space Odyssey.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like a part two or something.
Mm-hmm. Right, and if it's a part two, I'm more open to that. If it's like. I'm going to remake this. There's no point, I don't think.
There is.
Yeah, it would be weird to make a movie, to remake a 2000, a movie that
right.
is in the future 2001, when that was so long ago.
Yeah.
That's not just past, that is ancient history. Yeah.
Stop practically. It, that makes me sense.
Quickly, before we jump into the actual episode, one more movie that shouldn't be remade, and I won't say anything on it, is The Breakfast Club.
No, yeah, I don't think so.
They've remade The Breakfast Club in every single TV show that has been on TV since The Breakfast Club.
Degrassi. No, they actually had like a Breakfast Club style show where they were like sliding in the hallway. And,
with Ellie on the roof or something.
I know, there's a lot of like sitcoms and stuff have done spoofs of The Breakfast Club in like an episode or something. But
there should never be like The Breakfast Club, like a movie.
Right, exactly.
Because I think like we all... Everyone sort of appreciates those little nods to the films when they do something like that in a show or in an episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, an entire film would be a bit much.
Another thing that makes me immediately check out is the Breakfast Club episode and like the Wizard of Oz episode.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you hate it if the episodes that I check out is the like the Christmas Carol episodes where like the past, present, and future visit. immediately out.
Yeah, it's like, is this really happening? No.
Yeah.
And
Grease shouldn't be remade because that movie blows.
Maybe they could make
Grease,
it
was remade, wasn't it? A live act. They did
it
live.
Yeah, they remade it and did it
on
TV.
Oh, that's right. They did it live on TV.
And it was terrible. Yeah. Well, all of those things. There was the other one, too, they redid, and what other
girls
live ones?
Dress up skanky and the boys will like you.
I mean, the whole musical Grease, even if it's, like, live being performed, it's just not a good story.
Yeah. I think, like, there's some nostalgic value with Grease, but I, I was not interested
in it. You had to be there.
Yeah, I think you had to be there. Well, because, like, you look at, like, the scenes in the drive-in, for example, you're like, ooh, look at, like, the drive-in reels.
Yeah.
And, like, those, the little, like, dancing hot dog and stuff.
Yes.
Because you can actually still see
that. Which they still have that.
Yeah. So that's kind of like, ooh, it's fun.
So but, what about a remake of The Office? Speaking of The Office.
Well, The Office was kind of a remake.
Right.
Yeah,
The Office
already
was a remake.
Right.
They better never.
Yeah,
speaking of The Office. Take it away, Jamie.
You know, if they
the
remade
Office movie.
If they remade The US Office, one can consider that a coup, which brings us to the episode, which is The Coup, aired originally October 5th, 2006. And did you happen to see who wrote it, Justin?
Paul Lieberstein.
Ooh, he plays has Toby.
Is that Toby?
Yeah.
Oh. Has he written any other ones that we
He wrote... Hang on one second, I'll pull it back up. There were a couple that we've already talked about. So before this episode, it was Healthcare, The Client, The Carpet, Dwight's Speech, and that's it.
Oh, he writes Goodbye, Toby? Goodbye, Toby!
Interesting. Very cool. So,
according to BJ Novak, he is probably the darkest of the writers. Like, he always wants to end things with a mass suicide.
I mean, Scranton Strangler.
Yeah.
Everyone dies.
Makes sense.
Very cool. So, there are basically, for this entire episode, I would say three stories. We have everything that's happening with the coup from the movie on. And then we have the things happening in... Oh, what's the name of the other branch? Why can't I remember?
Stanford.
And then we have Pam's clothes.
My least favorite of the storyline was what was happening at Stanford. Like, I liked it less than Pam's clothing storyline.
Yeah,
it was
so
really
boring.
Just kind of
yeah.
almost well, unnecessary to be in
nothing
the episode.
There
it felt
either.
Really
well,
weird when they kept cutting to it.
Yeah, it was like a Call of Duty product placement. Like, that's what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
And the only reason it's there is to be like, hey, Jim is still not at
Jim's still alive in this other place.
Yeah. Hey, Jim and Karen are probably going to date.
Right. I mean, I have to admit that everything, like, the things going on between Jim and Karen were cute. And, like, I think it's
oh, my goodness.
Episode,
I love when he, like,
too.
Pretends to throw the grenade at her. Like, so adorable.
It's very cute. I do like that. And then she's just kind of, like, completely, you know, killing him and the entire time they're playing.
Which that was Subi's favorite part of the entire show, was when he said, "You killed Jim Halpert."
That's my quote.
Sorry.
I love how, I know that if I were playing Call of Duty, I would be the same exact level of shit that Jim is in there.
Yep.
Because I've never been good at first person shooter games. I'm always
That's
the one.
That's exactly how I was when I played Doom.
Yeah.
Just running in place in a corner.
Exactly. Or I like try to turn and like shoot someone, and you're accidentally either shooting the ceiling or the floor, and there's no middleman. Yeah. First person.
Do we want to knock that B plot out of the way?
I think we kind of did.
Yeah,
that was like all that happens in it.
My favorite quote does come from that plot. When Andy just says, "I'm going to kill you for real. The game is over. I'm really going to shoot you."
Saboteur.
So we get a little bit of a hint that Andy might have some anger management problems.
Yes.
Yes.
Management material.
Spoiler apparently. Alerts.
Yeah.
Did anyone? So we saw that you killed Jim Halpert on there. So we know that Jim's username is Jim Halpert. Did anyone look up the other usernames?
I didn't see any other ones.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of like what shots you would have been able to see them, and like you saw like Andy. You just saw like on his screen it just says like kill cam, and then on Karen's you never see her character. You only see Jim.
Gotcha. They must have been in a cut scene or something, because I looked up what on Dunderpedia lists, or maybe it was on IMDb, but somewhere it lists what they actually were for the three of them.
Yeah, maybe there was like a scoreboard posted or something.
Oh, could be.
Like if they hit the end of a round.
Yeah, but apparently, as one would expect, Andy's is Here Comes Treble.
Yeah.
And then, but Karen's is apparently Karen the Gym Slayer.
Care Seriously?
So that's but her wait. Only job, to kill Jim, apparently.
Can you change your name each time you play? Because they've been playing this before right. Jim came to the office.
That's why I'm like, that's a
she
bit
She created
sketchy.
A new account?
Just to well, kill Jim.
They were playing on their network, so like I don't think it was online. She probably could have just changed her name.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never played Call of Duty, so I'm not sure.
Yeah,
no. I did really like how, like when Karen says, like, he's trying to shoot with a smoke grenade, like, you can see on Jim's computer that he had a smoke grenade. And, like, when Jim shoots Andy, like, Andy's computer, like, dies. So, like, they were actually, like, doing the right thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like how upset, yeah, so we had the whole quote with Andy, and then the other guy who, why am I forgetting everyone's name today?
Josh?
Josh, which is kind of like, okay, so are you using like the M40, the MP40 or the 44? And he's like, I'm using the sniper rifle. Like, I'm sorry, but surely even Jim would know that up like close range, one doesn't use a sniper rifle. That's yeah. counterintuitive.
But, he doesn't yeah. know. He's just used to playing pranks with Pam.
That's true.
I've never played a video game.
It's a video game.
Apparently,
Jim is way too cool for video games.
Apparently in the episode earlier on when they were in his apartment, he talks about playing Call of Duty.
Really?
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah, and says he's not good at it. But this episode doesn't make it seem like he's never heard of the game. And he's like,
yeah.
yeah. They play this game called Call of Duty, I think it's called. I don't know, because I've never played a video game, so I don't know the names of any of them. Yeah. Is it Pokemon?
Is this Nintendo?
Pretty much.
But yeah, I feel like that's all they do during their workday is yep. play yeah. Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Well, we know why. Well, never mind. No spoilers. Yeah.
Yes,
that
we know.
That
could have
been my workday today.
But they get even less done than Michael Scott does in his office. So.
Right.
We do never see Stanford do anything.
No.
I mean, like, how much work is there really selling paper?
Exactly.
Right.
Come on.
There are only so many cold calls you can make in a day.
Yeah. That's true.
So many paper supply needs out there.
True.
Very true. But yeah, so that's what I guess we could call that either B or C plot, but either way, not much happens. Mm-hmm. And then let's talk about Pam's clothes real quick, since that's also very short. So she's...
I feel like their reaction was, like, she ordered new clothes for... I don't know, to wear out, even though Pam, like, doesn't go out.
Well, why did she mail it to
I feel
to
like
the
she
office?
Bought them maybe to wear to work, but then after yeah. some oh, yeah. of the people's reactions in the office, mainly Creed's, yeah. she changes her mind about that.
I feel like their reactions were a little ridiculous for what she... It was just a top. Like,
I know.
It wasn't...
Yeah. Yeah,
it
nothing.
Wasn't even like a good one.
Right, there was nothing to write home about.
It was just like lower yeah. cut than anything Pam has probably ever worn to the office before.
Right.
Yeah,
she yeah. was letting and those suckers yeah. breathe. It's abnormal.
And I don't think she normally wears short sleeves. Like, I think she usually has a cardigan.
Yeah, she starts yeah. wearing like short sleeves and stuff when she and Jim get together.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's allowed to yeah. see her arms then.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. A little arm, a little ankle. But yeah, so she gets...
Wait, what was yeah. I saying?
I don't know.
No, she... Because she says that, like... she says that she wants some new clothes because...
She doesn't want to just change into her pajamas at night, right?
But she says that she, at the afterwards. End. Like, yeah. she's like, oh, yeah. I think I'm going to keep them anyways. It'll be nice to have
oh, that's
some
right.
after-work clothes that aren't pajamas.
Yeah.
That's
right, at that's the beginning, right. she was like, I just need some new clothes.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. but... Like, I thought it was implied that she wanted to go on dates.
Well, yeah,
I think
I guess
she's
the last
just trying
episode,
to like reinvent herself without yeah. Jim in her life.
Right.
People
although,
tend to do that after a breakup.
Yeah, although we could imply that it is for dates because everyone last episode was criticizing her for her outfit. So.
That's true. I also forgot that she broke up with her fiancé, so she's trying to reinvent herself without Jim and without Roy. So.
And she went on a terrible date with that Freedom Fries
yes,
guy.
Yes, with the Freedom
Ellen,
Fries.
Ellen or whatever. We did...
Was that his name?
I think his name was Alan, yeah. We see Roy coming into the workplace, or coming upstairs several times, presumably just to see Pam still.
Yeah. Or just so to drink lots of soda.
That's true. But
I feel
they
like
need a vending machine
there
downstairs.
Must, yeah, a vending machine in
but
the...
We know, yeah, but we know from the first episode of the season that he's like, I need
warehouse.
To bring it back.
Warehouse.
So, he's...
Yeah.
trying, I guess, in a very vague, non-committal way to win her back.
Yeah. Just lurking around.
Get in that creeper come on too kind strong. Of stalker way. He could take some lessons from Creed.
Yeah, I felt Creed up to this point has been so, like, he's been a good guy, but then he's just being a creep. I'm like, it's classic Creed, sure.
Ew.
But I'm like, no, Creed, we don't have to be a creep in that way.
I would think if that would have been a Kevin move.
Lock me up.
Well, that's like, you know, every man in Hollywood now is like, oh, we used to like you, but now you're a giant pervert.
The guy's just hanging brain.
Oh my God. Oh, I forgot about that.
Things wasn't that Creed that says that?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I don't see what's the big deal.
Michael Scott was the one who said, like, okay, masters of comedy, a guy dropped his pants. Have you ever been to the circus? Oh, my goodness.
So then we have, so that basically wraps up Pam's story, right? Does anyone have anything else to talk about for that one?
No.
That was all that Pam did.
Not very eventful.
So then we have our very eventful main story, which has all around the coup. And starts with Movie Monday.
I've been pronouncing it the coup.
Movie Monday!
I remember last time you were like, yes, next episode, the coup. And I was like, oh, the coup.
No, it's the coup, because there's a P in it.
Yeah, but it's like coup d'etat.
Yeah,
but it's like it's coup d'etat. Coup,
but it's coup.
And it's sort.
It's, but it's sort not.
Sort sherbert.
Sherbert.
Sorbert?
Okay, so there's sorbet and sherbert, but there's also sorbert, right?
No, sorbet is so. Just pronounced.
No, I don't think
S-O-R-B-E-T is how sorbet is spelled.
Okay, but there's sherbert, but there's also a combination of the two.
No.
And is that
no. Because sherbet has dairy or and sorbet doesn't. Is there's not a sorbert?
I don't think,
there's
I don't
not
think
a combination
exists.
Of
well,
the
they
two.
Should. They, there should be. They should make a,
a sorbert is when he goes and plays tennis with Ernie.
Or when he... No, I'm done. I was going to go to a place with that.
Please go there.
I'm gonna stop now. Breaks on, we'll say.
No, no, do it. Go there.
No.
You can cut it out.
I think you already have.
Yeah, I think it's there. We'll just leave it in the ether to complete. But so we have Movie Monday. And
Movie Monday.
Which leads me to my next favorite quote, and I don't know why I find it so. I don't know.
Entourage?
No, this might be my most used office quote in real life.
What is it?
When Michael Scott just goes, I'm hungry. Don't I do? I do that
all of the time, and it is not funny.
And I like,
every time.
It is funny every time. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
What's it even from? Is it from
it's
something?
It's not from anything. It's just...
It has to be from
his
something.
His face is so funny. Like, his little expectant face. He's trying to be funny in
Michael
front of the camera.
Has
and
the,
like,
he has the greatest faces throughout this entire episode.
I know.
Oh, that's gold. Oh.
Like the monkey scene.
That was my other favorite quote.
The monkey.
Does the tiger transfer the monkey to another branch? And then he's like, oh.
It's like a pun.
Oh, that works.
Aww. He's just very adorable.
I also love, since we mentioned the monkey, there's the great part where he's like, there's no way of knowing what goes on inside a tiger's head.
We don't, have the technology.
So, I mean, this is, I like, so when Jan shows up and sees that they're all in the conference room, except for Angela for Movie Monday.
She is unsurprisingly pissed.
Movie Monday!
For N squared. I am surprised that Jan is so shocked to see them not doing work, or like that Michael has encouraged them to not work, basically.
But I love how Michael is just like, oh, hi Jan, want some popcorn? Like, he's not even like, everybody get back to work.
He's committed to Movie Monday.
Right, it makes them work faster because they have to.
They don't
when Pam, this. When Pam is talking about how they started Movie Monday, she has that weird like pause after the medical videos.
Yeah.
Justin says it's because they were watching like breast augmentations.
How do we know that specifically?
Just because her face was like, I don't know. Wait, I feel like,
when was this?
Whenever she was like, first we started watching, what was it?
On training videos.
Training videos, then medical videos.
And then medical videos. And then she pauses and like makes this face. Like she's just like, I don't know. What would you call her facial expression?
I don't remember.
Kind of like, did this really happen?
Like,
not even grossed out.
Like, you know, Michael.
I mean, I can see that, but I can also see her just reacting like that because Michael thought it would be a good idea to watch medical videos in the office. Like any sort of surgical
video. I guess when she said medical videos, I just thought like emergency response videos, like what to do if your coworker's choking kind of video.
No, I don't think she would have made that face though, yeah.
It would be classic Michael to be like, this is science, like let's all take this in.
I don't doubt that maybe that was like among the medical videos for sure.
Like a breast cancer prevention.
Right, yeah.
Those things are ticking fun bags.
How to do a self-breast exam.
Ticking fun bags. Subi editorialized that a bit.
Isn't that what he says?
Time bags.
No, ticking time bags. Ticking
fun bags.
Okay, Subi.
Reel it in there, son. Oh my goodness. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that there's some sort of breast augmentation video or something. My immediate thought when she said that before she gave the look was that they were watching something like, what was that show we used to watch, Madison? All the time, the British show.
Oh, Embarrassing Bodies?
Yeah, Embarrassing Bodies. Ugh, I love that show.
What is that?
Embarrassing Bodies is a British show, basically, where people come in with these sort of, like, quote, embarrassing illnesses.
It's like three doctors who are, like, just general practitioners.
Yeah. And so people will come in, so, like, some people may have, like, verrucas on their feet, and they're embarrassed about it. So, like, they basically get diagnoses, and I think because they come on the show pays for their treatment, which is why people actually do it.
Oh, my gosh. I need to watch it.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, it is a British show, and they do a lot of diseases that have to do with your bits and parts, and they do not censor any of it. You see everything.
What? Never mind.
So it's keep that in mind when watching that show. You will see a lot of testicles and lady bits.
Yeah.
Oh, couple of lays. Of course you and Jamie sat around and watched that.
Of course we did.
It was all on YouTube. I think we watched like every episode of it.
We did. We were really into it.
Oh, so you're allowed that stuff on YouTube?
Well, like, it's not on YouTube anymore. They took it down. What is it streaming on now? Is it Hulu?
I think it's Hulu. I think it's Hulu.
But it's not all of it. It's only like two seasons. No.
But I do, in terms of nudity on YouTube, I think that if it's educational, you can have nudity. It has to be like marked or something. But
yeah, we had to like be signed into our account to verify that we were over 18 and all that.
And that's what it is.
So you
like,
guys
they're not
made
showing
a secret pervy account.
Yes.
No, we just use our normal account.
Secret group account.
No. But it's like, it's not meant to be gratuitous. It's just kind of like this person. I think one of the ones was like this woman was uncomfortable with like her labia because they were like a bit too long or droopy or something.
They were pretty
long.
So she was like,
oh, this is what's going on. So they had to look at it to be like, okay.
Yeah.
And then she got her surgery or whatever.
And then they do show like some of the surgical procedures kind of graphically as well.
Yeah.
It's a good show though. You know?
It is. It's very informative and very just like blunt. This is what you have kind of thing. This is how to treat it.
And they watched it for the articles.
They get some really weird illnesses.
We did. But yeah, it was good. Anyway.
I don't know how we got there.
Medical videos. Varsity Blue.
Then they watched one episode of Entourage six times. But have you guys watched Entourage?
No.
I watched the first season. It's pretty dumb.
Is it?
Yeah.
It explains why Michael Scott likes it.
What is it even about?
It's about this group of friends who, like, one of the friends becomes like a big movie star, and he takes his three other friends to Hollywood, and they have parties and stuff. It's awful.
For some reason, I was assuming it was like a gangster thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely thought there was drug dealing involved.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe he is going to Hollywood after all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then I guess I had forgotten, but it makes sense that Angela is the one who basically encourages Dwight to tell Jan that he could do a better job, like leading the branch.
Oh my gosh, yeah. She's so creepy in this episode.
Yeah. Well, she feels bad at the end, though, I think, the way she looks at them in the conference room.
I don't think she feels bad at all. She's just regretting ever dating Dwight at that point.
You think so? I thought she looked more, like, regretful than disdain.
I feel like she looked a little disgusted.
She just looked disgusted at Dwight.
Not as disgusted as Ryan, though.
Ryan the whole time is like, what is happening? Yeah. Like, after, when Michael tries to check his teeth, he's like, show me. Ryan's just like, what?
Also, when Michael's looking at his teeth, why are there not any chopped up M&M bits in them? Because he forced him to eat M&Ms, and now his mouth was clean.
Right.
I thought there were.
I thought there were, too.
I looked at it, and there wasn't.
Brown and tarry.
I do love that Michael's just like, you should floss. I know.
Michael's the one that doesn't floss.
He does once.
12 a.m. Bam, blood everywhere.
Yeah. You know you've not flossed enough time if there's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Flossing is the worst. I will not do it.
I floss every day.
I floss every day.
I protest flossing.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it's only you who's going to pay the price.
It's true. The price.
Yeah, so my dentist can get off my back.
He can step right off. Is your dentist also Crentist?
That was dentist. Awesome.
Your dentist's name is Crentist.
Dwight's cover up for the M&Ms was really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a new Bond. Said
like,
that too.
Right,
yeah.
Like the quick drawing Bond. That was such a great lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't think of a
his
fake
Crentist one.
And
was
his
not
second
enough.
One was so terrible. He put all the effort into the first.
Maybe that's why he became a dentist.
It's always so hard for people just to think of a name when they're like trying to lie.
Right.
Like Michael Scotch.
Right. Well, that's the trope. Like either it rhymes exactly mm-hmm. with the thing, or people are like looking at the most random objects and they're like, paper wall. Oh yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Paper Wall.
Mugsy Mugs.
I have my alter ego, my other identity, right on the tip of my tongue if anyone ever asks, and I needed a fake name.
What is it?
I am a Lily Vance like.
Oh, yes, I did know. This is your
that
stripper
sounds
name.
Fake, Madison.
Well, it's supposed to.
No, it's not. It's supposed to fool people.
Isn't that the thing, though? Like, wasn't your stripper name, like, your first pet and your road?
The name of your first pet and the road you grew up on. Lily Vance, like.
Muffy Vine.
Ooh, that is good.
We'll both be good strippers.
Muffy Vine is real good.
Muffy Vine.
I love that. Vine would be what? I think my first pet was, her name was Little Bit. Little Bit Cody.
No,
that's not
that
as good.
The best.
Wait, what's the second knit part? Little Bit what?
Cody. Cody.
All right, Cody ladies, Lane. Here comes Little Bit.
Here's Little Bit Cody. Oh my god.
What would yours be? Who was your first pet?
It was a cat named Razzle.
That's already good.
What was
your road
you grew up on?
I didn't grow up on a street.
You grew up on many streets.
Yeah.
Razzle, Brandon.
Pick the best one.
Yeah, just
yeah,
choose
what was
a random
the best one?
I lived on Gettle.
Razzle Gettle.
Sounds like a Sierra killer.
I don't even know if that street had a name. It was just like 696.
I mean, if you just
Razzle 696.
That's just your IM name. I think I accept just Razzle. Razzle's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Like Madonna.
It's like Cher. You only need one. Introducing Razzle.
Subi.
I've never had a pet.
He not even
oh,
a fish?
Have you have a pet rock?
An imaginary friend.
Did your someone in your family have a pet?
A very small sibling?
Not really.
Well, you had a relative that had a cat and you found out you were
have you ever really
cat.
Liked oh, yeah. a pet on a television name. Show?
No.
All right, well, anyway, back to the
and the street I grew up on, I don't think it had a name either.
You guys in your no-name streets.
Well, one
you're
day
are you
the
judging us
game.
For being strippers, so. Subi?
The stripper with no name. The, yeah.
Yeah, how mysterious.
You're just jealous that my stripper name is so great. Lily Van Slyke.
Lily Van Slyke is good. And Muff. What was it? Muffy Vine.
Muffy Vine.
Isn't Muff like slang for something?
It's slang for the juge, yeah. Yes.
But it's Muffy. Muffy.
Yeah, it's like a little Muff.
Muffet.
Muffet. Which means.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Anyway. So yes, then Dwight. I like how sneaky Dwight's trying to be, like, crouched in the parking lot. For some reason, Kevin's also in the parking lot.
I don't know. Is he?
I didn't notice that.
He's there very briefly. And then if you're watching closely, like, as he's walking by some of the cars, there's someone in one of the cars. So I'm guessing maybe it was Kevin in a car.
Oh.
Oh, man. One of Jamie's questions is going to be a license plate number.
No. I actually thought about it, and then I didn't look at the answer.
I love when Dwight is, like, stressing out, and then he just, like, runs across the parking lot. Yeah.
I know. I'm surprised he didn't listen to some, like, hardcore music, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's supposed to, that's for, like, psyching himself up, not calming himself down.
Oh, that's true.
He's already too psyched up at this point.
Yeah.
Angela did give the best quote about, like, when Dwight was hesitating about calling Jan.
Sometimes I just think you need to grow a pair. Right?
I know that patience and loyalty are good and virtuous traits, but sometimes I just think you need to grow a pair. Like, Angela is fierce in this episode.
She is. Subi, what did you equate them to? Dwight and Angela were like
Angela was like Lady Macbeth, I think.
Oh, yeah. Like Hitler and his wife.
Yeah, Hitler and Eva Braun.
Sure.
You can be in charge of the women.
She seemed to be content with that.
She was pretty happy with that.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I think she was really shocked at first than men.
Yeah, I think she was really shocked at first that Dwight was like, I will make a difference.
I was kind of like, surprised that she was like that, or that he was like that too.
Yeah.
It was all her idea.
Right.
Power went to his head really quick. I love, instantly. Oh my God. He starts calling Michael Mike.
Mike. Well, he's like, I'm ready, Mike. I was in his face.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah.
That's so many good.
Dwight knows that Angela likes men, powerful men.
That's true.
I think him saying that in the vending machine room was like a...
foreplay?
Like a treat for her.
Yeah, a little treat.
Ew. Here, I'm going to throw you a little treat.
Ew.
It's kind of true, though. Angela really is turned on by, like, when men are, like, overly powerful.
Yeah. It just seemed that, yeah. She does, yeah. The only reason she actually gets with the senator later.
Yeah.
Is power.
And stays with him.
Yeah.
Why does he like Roy? Why does she like Roy, then?
Because he's strong.
Wait, does she like Roy?
Yeah, she, like, chose him out of anybody in the office that, like... What was it? It was... between Jim and Roy, and she chose Jim, and then she also said something else to him. I don't know. There's a couple of times when it makes.
Yeah, she says like, "I'm sure you'll land on your feet" or something after, because he's like upset about Pam.
Oh.
She also calls him capable.
Well, I can picture.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, you're very capable.
I can picture Angela picking Roy over Jim
because
she wouldn't go for someone who was like soft and nice. You would. Pick somebody who was kind of a douche and mistreated her.
The way she said, like, you're very capable. And I think it was Kevin laughed afterwards.
I do love in this part of the episode, too, whenever all the times that Dwight is, like, overstepping the bounds with everything related to Jan, like, knowing all of her where her shirts are from. And I like how he's like, it's part of my job. It's not. It's officially not.
It is officially not part of your job.
Noted.
And like another thing, like about Dwight, when he goes to meet up with Jan, how does he not notice that the camera crew follows him? Like, he's supposed to be so observant and everything, but they're like right there in the restaurant with him. How did he not notice that?
Right, that's the weird thing.
Where he was like
watching him pour that copious amounts
so
of
much.
Oh, so much syrup.
And why did he get both waffles and pancakes, which he then cut crazily?
He's a powerful man. Man on a mission.
Watching him like just look her in the eyes and chop through the pancakes was
always eat
the
more
best
than
thing,
your
though.
Client.
I will go on the record saying that I would rather eat waffles than pancakes, though.
Same.
Yeah, I do like waffles.
I really like waffles.
Yeah, they have like a syrup trap.
You know? I love that. Time. And a butter trap.
I would like a pizza, please, but I don't want any pizza. I just want crust. Can you just like cut out the pizza and then give me the crust?
What are you talking about?
That is what people who like waffles, that's what you want. What? You just want crusty waffles.
But, okay, how is a pancake different? Like, just
because
it's soft.
Because pancakes are good and they're a cake. No. And no, no, no. You
pancake
want crust.
Is just mush, basically.
Yeah.
I would say, like cake.
I feel like, ugh. I don't know.
I don't like cake either.
Oh.
Well, the recipes for pancakes and waffles are actually different, and waffles are better.
Waffles are better. I think waffles just taste better. Cake's not my go-to dessert. But
I like little pulls of things.
Same. That's the thing. Well, I think that's the thing with, like, strangely, no matter how much syrup you put on pancakes, it all, like, disappears. Like, it's absorbed.
It soaks into the pancake.
It's absorbed, but then it, like, doesn't taste like syrup still. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah, I can see that. Maybe you're not putting enough syrup on it.
Maybe I'm not. Maybe I have to take a hint. What is it?
Jamie uses the serving size. The recommended serving size on the back of the...
A leaf?
I prefer jam on
a page,
like a tree and leaf.
Yeah, take a page from his book.
Ooh, I don't know if I can get on board with that.
With jam?
I don't really like jam too much, though. It's okay.
I do like. We even. Words.
What about like a homemade berry reduction?
A homemade berry reduction.
I don't know. Susie is not my mother.
Yeah. Now we're getting real classy here.
Jam almost everywhere. Jan almost.
That's how I grew up. Jan almost everywhere.
There you go. Oh my goodness. I also can't believe, going back to the show, I can't believe that Dwight asked her if she had bought a teddy. Like, new blouse, halter shop,
teddy.
Camisole,
teddy.
Which, like, I gotta say, I don't even know if they sell those at those places that she likes. I don't think. I don't know.
I have
maybe.
No idea.
I've never been in the Liz Claiborne. I think Dwight would know.
Dwight would know. Dwight, he's done his research.
I trust Dwight as an authority.
It's part of his job.
It is part of his job. But.
So.
Yeah, then he's just real sneaky afterwards. But.
Like, how, once Dwight gets back to the office, how does he not. Like, it just seems so improbable that Dwight would not realize that Michael had talked to Jan. Like, that Michael was just messing with him that whole time about how he was going to get to be the regional manager, and he had been demoted. It just seemed like, especially with the interrogation of, like, you know, all of his dental things.
Yeah, right, because at that part, it seems like he knows. But I think maybe he's got it, he's so sure that he will get the job, maybe. Yeah, that he's like, oh, okay. He believed my lies and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and is my only assumption.
And maybe he like sees himself as like superior to Michael in that moment, where like Michael would not be able to fool him. So like Michael telling him this, like he just believes it. I don't know.
I do find it ridiculous when Michael. So Michael does a really good thing when he's like, "Oh yeah, I told her that I don't know if you would actually want that because you've always been so loyal."
Yeah.
And then Dwight does seem to kind of like hesitate a little bit, but then. If they had left it at that, I wonder if Dwight would have been like, oh, you're right, maybe, why am I doing this? But after that, he's like, but I think you should take it.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, no. If you tell someone they should take it, then they're going to take it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was weird. I think he just wanted Dwight to admit it, and Dwight wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
He had to push further.
Right.
Like if he did just say like if he left it there and Dwight ended up not, I mean like Dwight wasn't promoted, so like if they never did the whole promoting bit, it would have just died there.
Yeah.
That's true. But he wanted him to actually say what he did.
Yeah.
So he could exact vengeance.
Yeah.
I do like that once again, something going on between the two of them has resulted in like false advertising in the office, like like the time when they were like, you're all getting a bonus. And this time he's like, he's the new office manager. And I like that Stanley's just like, what?
And or, what is it?
There was a terrible car crash.
Yeah.
Who was it? Brad Pitt. He'll never act again.
Yeah. And then, of course, Michael... The thing about the Sebring breaks Michael.
Like, what a weird thing to break him.
That's my car! I love that when he's, like, shouting, "That's my car," Dwight's just like, "Yes."
What was he about to say when he was like, "Did you..." Dwight goes, like, "Did you..." Like, he thought Michael had done something. Because I thought up until this point that he was going to say, like, "Did you actually talk to Jan about my trip or something?" But I feel like it might have been something else. I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember that either. Is that during the car shouting time?
Yeah, yeah. Michael goes, like, "That's my car. Take it back. That's my car." I think it's after the first time he, like, says, "That's my car," like, and shouts it. Uh-huh. Dwight's like, "Did you?" And he, like, kind of points at the computer. And then Dwight shouts, "That's my car," again. Or, sorry, Michael says that.
I do not remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Same. Knowing him, though, is probably just asking something like, "Did you...
need anything else before you leave? Like, get out
of here. Yeah, did you need anything, like, off this computer before I delete everything?"
Right.
Yeah. Or, like, yeah.
Or, like, "Did you really mess up the settings of this computer this badly?"
Well, we know that Michael doesn't really know how to use a computer. So.
That's true. He doesn't even know what his password is. No. But, yeah, so... that whole thing is funny, and then Dwight groveling on the floor.
No,
oh,
he becomes
classic.
So pathetic.
Oh, yeah.
The drool was a nice touch.
Yeah.
I always get this episode confused with the one where he, like, paints Michael's office black.
Yeah. But, like, Andy's around for that one.
That's right. Andy's around. Yeah. Why, though? Where's Michael at that point?
What did he do?
Is he, like...
why is he gone?
Is he when remember. He forms his own paper company?
No.
No. It's not when... it's not, like, for, like, the beach party arc where Michael, like, thinks he's already gone. Mm. Because that's the one where, like, Dwight's giving a lecture, right? About paper.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't find my phone. I was going to look it up. I cannot remember what episode that is.
I feel like it's, like, later on during that. The Saber era.
Hmm. Maybe.
I'm surprised that while Dwight is being so pathetic and groveling on the floor, like...
Oh. Sorry.
I'm surprised that Angela doesn't end up breaking up with him over this. She just looks so disgusted.
I know. There
and
she
disappointed does look disgusted. That Dwight was acting this way. Like, all of her fantasies about him bossing her around just, like, crumbled.
Right.
Yeah.
I do love at that time, though, like, Michael's just like, "Stand up. Hug it out, bitch." It's like, that's what men
hug
do.
Hug it out, bitch.
That's what men
Turns
do.
Out that wasn't quite enough for Michael.
No. Turns out that doesn't work for women.
And Dwight.
Doesn't translate.
Well, it also didn't really work for Michael at all, because he ended up making Dwight do his laundry for a year. And
stand on a desk with the word
with
liar.
Yeah.
I know. That was great.
So yeah, that's pretty much the episode.
Yeah, that's how it ends. Yep, is with Dwight standing up on the desk there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Should we move on to some trivia?
We could do trivia. All
right. Sure. I'll go first. Is everybody ready?
I am ready.
How many bags of popcorn did Pam make?
She made six.
She did indeed. What kind of M&Ms does Michael
eat
Dwight?
Peanut. Peanut M&Ms.
All right. I have one more. Let's see if it's the same one.
No.
Okay. In the liar sign... which letter is lowercase?
Oh, I don't
know. A.
Is it the R?
No.
Is it the
I?
It's L? The I.
Oh.
I was never good at multiple choice.
Well, I hope I didn't take all of your questions, Jamie.
I'll just scramble to find some more. It's all good. Someone else go in the interim.
During Jim's talking head bit, who is in the M?
Andy,
yeah.
Andy.
Wait, because
I saw that and I was like, oh, that's where they're, like,
yeah, that's whatever. What I was, that was my motivation for writing the question.
What is it?
Like, so Jim's, like, talking head bit, there's, like, a Dunder Mifflin logo behind him, and Andy is, like, in the M.
Oh.
Like, Stanley's usually in the back of the talking heads in Scranton.
Is that the only one you had?
Yep.
Okay. What word is directly above Kelly's desk?
Oh.
Ryan.
Ryan. Oh. No.
Is it?
No.
Oh, I was like, what? Is it motivation?
Well, kind of. It's one of those signs, but it's attitude. Because she's the business bitch.
She definitely is.
What two brands does Jan like?
Liz Claiborne and... No, Liz...
Yeah,
Ann Taylor?
Yeah, Liz Claiborne and Ann Taylor.
Yeah, Ann Taylor.
And Ann Perkins.
Ann Perkins. When leaving Stamford, which direction do you go... what direction do you turn to the exit?
Left, right.
To exit. You're wrong, because I'll take your first answer, but it is right.
Then right.
That's it. That's all I have.
So, when that little shelf in Michael's office, what are the three products on that shelf? Like, at the start of the episode, he, like, opens some, like, a cabinet.
Oh, when he's getting the DVD out. Yeah.
There's,
yeah.
There's Old Spice.
Uh-huh.
There is...
Wow.
I was going to make this my question, then I forgot to look back at it. There's Old Spice. Something else that's also red, I want to say. Yeah. I don't remember.
It's a can of Pringles and I believe Pringles. Pepto-Bismol.
Okay. Pringles, I remember. Very good.
I always worry that when I go to a store, I'm going to, like, with the stuff that I'm checking out, that the cashier is going to be, like, trying to piece together what I'm using all of this stuff for.
Gotta stop buying those kitchen knives and
ski masks. Duct tape, rope.
Ski masks.
Chloroform.
That plastic sheeting.
Yeah.
Just an average day. Okay,
hey,
so...
Dexter.
So since my questions were taken, the only one I can think of is when Jan and Dwight meet, we know that it's somewhere between New York and Scranton. What state are they in?
Pennsylvania. Because they're at exit 40.
Okay. They are still there.
Yeah. Wait.
Okay.
The only reason I knew that, though, is because when they're eating at the diner, there are two flags, an American flag and then the Pennsylvania state flag.
Pennsylvania flag, yeah.
Okay.
That
was a good question.
That was going to be one of my two questions.
And that's the only one I have. Very cool.
Well, very good for coming up with one on the spot after I stole all of yours.
No, that was funny. Yeah. Do you guys, what about Dundies? Do you have any Dundies to hand out?
MVP to Karen. For nice. Killing Jim.
Most kills for Karen.
Yeah.
Most Jim kills.
I'm going to give four out of five Dundies to Krentis the dentist.
What?
Nice.
Because
nice.
Four
was
out
that
five
your rating or your
recommend.
Dundee?
No, that was my Dundee.
Oh! That's great.
Krentis is probably the one-off that doesn't.
For being probably solid... A solid alibi for a couple of minutes.
Yeah. It's far. It's going to take...
And a good dentist.
Hours.
I'm giving a stuck in a corner Dundee to Jim.
Oh, yeah. Because he was.
And I'll give a Dundee to Karen for killing Jim Halpert.
Karen wins.
The episode where dreams come true.
I'm gonna give the best belittler Dundee to Dwight for calling Michael Mike. Yeah, when I'm ready, Mike.
That was low.
So low, but so good.
We skipped over quotes.
Oh. Any remaining quotes?
I know I got mine out during the episode.
I have one that I did not work into my episode discussion.
Yeah.
And that was, I have this little vacuum cleaner that's broken. If Dwight doesn't work out, maybe that can be manager. Damn.
And then, like, not in this episode, Stanley's like, I'd rather work for a...
upturned mop with a bucket on its head.
I did like Dwight's response when Angela's like, I can't believe you're letting him do this. He's just like, that's not his fault. He had to follow his heart. And also Jan's been bitching out on him. Oh, man. Any other quotes lingering there in the ether?
No.
No, mine was, you killed Jim Halpert.
Fair. Very cool. What about ratings? How's this looking?
I don't know. I didn't really like it too much.
I didn't dislike it. It just was kind of a mediocre episode. I laughed, but I didn't love it.
The B and C plots were just so bad.
Yeah, like, they were really bad.
So boring. Yeah,
they
were
pointless. They did nothing for the story. So, well, I guess the they kind of furthered really had Jim to carry
and
Karen's story.
And I don't know. I didn't love it. Like, Dwight trying to, like, take over everything was kind of weird. So I'm giving it a 3 out of 5 broken vacuum cleaners because it was funny and I did laugh, but I didn't love the episode.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5 bitches hugging it out.
That's usually how many bitches there are hugging it out.
Wow. 2 out of 5 bitches didn't want to hug it out.
Yeah. You don't do it.
Or, I mean 3. Oops, math, how does it work? 3 bitches didn't want to hug it out.
That's all good.
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 Claiborne blouses.
Okay.
3 out of 5. Yeah, it was just it's a whatever episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can miss it.
Jamie will just do the average of all of ours.
Yeah.
I haven't. Yeah.
He's currently averaging it.
No, I did find it really funny, and like Michael's faces alone, I think, saved this episode for me because they were so good. His reaction to everything was on point. So I'm actually going to give it a 3.5, and my rating was similar to Justin's, but I'm going to go with a Liz Claiborne teddy. So 3 teddies out of 5.
Michael's face whenever, what is he saying to Dwight? He's like, did you?
Did you? That's great.
His faces are great in this episode.
So good.
Yeah. I thought this was average episode. I'll give it 3 out of 5 dead Jim Halperts.
Nice. What does that bring us
to? So that brings our official threat level podcast score to 2.9 dead vacuum cleaners wearing Claiborne teddies hugging it out. It's 4 out of 5.
Nice.
Well, that's an image.
Very good.
That's a pretty decent score for this episode.
2.9.
Yeah. I feel like 2.9, like 2. Whoa, that's really low.
Yeah.
But like, it's 0.9. It's just shy of 3.
Yeah. I like that.
If we like were to put all of the ones that we scored a 3 on a list, I would imagine this would be near the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know,
when it comes to all the episodes of this season, it's definitely low for me. Because there's just so many good ones coming up. I don't know.
See, it was still a good episode, though. Like, I do like the increase in chemistry with Karen and Jim and the grenade and stuff. That's very cute.
I guess it's just the storyline that I don't love. Like, it's not, like, the jokes are funny and Michael's faces are good. It's just that I don't care for the storyline. Any of the storylines, really, that are happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair.
I do hate watching flirting.
Yeah.
Oh, but I think they're actually, I think Karen's cute. I thought that was an appropriate response. Yeah.
Well, you have to prep yourself for next episode, Michael. Justin, I mean.
My liege.
Because there's some.
What is next episode?
Next episode
what is.
Next?
Is there lots of flirting in the next episode?
The flirt.
I think next episode is the one with the, when he has, they have to find the chips for Karen, I think.
Oh, God. Boy.
Can it just be Diwali already? I love Diwali.
Oh my goodness. Such adverse reactions. That episode is called Grief Counseling.
Yes, that's the next episode.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Cool. So,
that's it.
Wow. I guess that brings us to the end of the discussion of the episode.
Man, we were brief today.
Yeah, that was.
We didn't really go through the plot. We kind of just like talked about the episode.
That's good.
That's what we're out to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you guys listening would like to send us an email, go ahead and do that, threatlevelpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up at Twitter @teal_pcast. And this will conclude then the part of the episode where we talk about The Office. If you'd like to stick around to hear about our interests, then
stick
you can.
Around
for sure.
Stick around for a Threat Level Podcast After Dark.
And it really is after dark.
It is.
It is so after dark.
It was after dark at freaking 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Evening, I guess.
It's like it's winter or something almost.
It felt like winter today.
It yeah, did. It was the low here is like 9, in the air. So.
Damn.
It was 20 when I came into work today, and I was like, oh, that's enough. That's
yeah, it's enough.
I'm so glad I work from home.
So what have you guys, though, been checking out in this cold weather? Anything good?
We went to see a show. When was that?
Two days ago,
for a band called Listener, but about four other bands played with them?
It
played
was
beforehand?
One, two, three, four. Yeah, four yeah, bands four. Played before Listener.
I missed the first three.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I was driving from work, but I caught the fourth, and his name is Levi the Poet, and I was not expecting to, I went for the Listener show, yeah. I was actually there for the Levi the Poet show.
Okay.
I just didn't know it until I got there and heard him. He's just like, spoken word poet?
Yeah.
Spoken word poet, set to music.
Okay.
And also, like, kind of a light show behind him. Oh. He has, like, really perfectly timed poems
oh my
to
God.
Match
he
up with the lighting.
Rehearsed so hard. Like, it yeah. is, like, split second exactly on the mark. And
like,
he's not even, like, looking behind him.
He'll make, like, a certain, like, emphasis on a word, and, like, the lights will just, like, explode behind him and stuff like that. It was so good. His lyrics, his poetry is just so beautiful. And I love spoken word poetry anyway. But this was just, this had so much more energy than what I'm used to, and just the lyrics really touched me. And I'm sitting there, like, crying while he's singing in the middle of this awful, cramped, dingy, grungy venue.
Yeah.
Like, I just did not expect to find a new favorite artist, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. What was he called again?
Yeah. Levi the Poet.
Levi the Poet. Okay.
Yeah, he's just this 28-year-old guy.
Huh.
Do you have like a track to recommend?
Yes, I do, and it is called Orphan Theism.
Hmm.
It's very good. But there was a number 9 on that CD. I don't know what it's called though. Was excellent too, and
I thought 9 was Orphan Theism.
No, Orphan Theism is 7. Number 9 was he has a lot of horns in that one. It was so
questions?
Good because and usually I'm just too busy listening to the horns because they're so pretty. But I actually like listened to his poetry in the song this time and it's very good. Here, Justin's looking it up. I will also recommend
cool
another song. one moment, please.
Correspondence, that's what it's called.
Yeah, that's it. So number 9 is Chapter 9, Cap Gun Death.
Okay.
The whole album seems to have a theme. From what I gather, it's about he and this girl who kind of have grown up together. They come from really broken homes, so they kind of like build a life together to make up for it. And just like all throughout their lives dealing with their parents' suicide and cancer and stuff like that. But yeah, it's so beautiful.
Cool. Check it out.
Yeah, the end of his set had a poem called... I assume it's called Keep Forgiving. He said it like a million times. But like since I heard that the first time, I have been like I'll be like, man, I really want to listen to that again. But it's like not out yet.
Oh no.
But like for 2 days now, I've been like, man, I really, really want to listen to that again. Yeah. Like it has been on my mind being like, I could really use that now. It was awesome.
Has no one recorded it and like put it on YouTube yet?
Oh, they might have. I'll bet.
They haven't.
Really?
If they have, it's been, like, buried under, like, the actual Levi the Poet videos.
Gotcha.
I just hope...
He has a video up for one called...
oh, my gosh. It's so good. He did it for To Write Love on Her Arms.
It's All Worth Living For, I think it's called.
Yeah, it's called It's All Worth Living For, and he asked people to send him clips or video clips of what they think life is worth living for. And he just compiled it all together. So it's like little clips from strangers and what they find important to them while he, you know, sings over it.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
It's great. Yeah, it's really great. I hope he comes back so now I can go and, like, see his show and know what to expect and, like, know to get pumped for it.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, I was kind of negative about going to the show anyway. And then I walk into the venue and it's literally the size of, like, Jamie, not, like, my kitchen. Like, and my kitchen plus that office room. Like, it's the smallest freaking venue I've ever been in.
That's kind of nice, though, because then it's, like, super intimate. But I'm guessing it was packed as well.
The audience was so obnoxious.
Yeah. Oh. Usually, I really like smaller shows. And this one, I think, was definitely to his detriment because, like, it's in, like, a bar, like, where the college kids go. And
it's a bad, like, ugh.
And a lot of them were just, like, coming up there because it's a cheap show and they're, like, getting drunk. And it's just, like...
There were so many people just, like... making out and grinding all over the place. Like, it was just one giant orgy, basically.
And listener was just, like, not happy.
Well, then they started fighting. They started fighting up front and, like, screaming at each other. And the guy from Listener was like, you know, I really can't hear myself over you. Can you please just stop doing, like, fighting? And it's just a shame when a person travels so far and they have to, you know, reprimand the audience.
Right. Yeah. That's absurd.
Like, they're children.
Yeah. Ugh. So, yeah. But yeah, Levi the Poet, check him out.
All right.
I guess I can give my shout out. There's a show on Netflix that I've been watching. So I think we've shouted out the Great British Baking Show before, but this one is called The Big Family Cooking Showdown.
Oh, I saw that.
I wanted to watch it.
Oh, it's so good. So basically the premise is that two families at a time per episode will battle it out, and they have three rounds that they have to make things for, and I don't know, I just love baking shows, and then British baking shows, you know, are just
amazing. Oh, it's a British one?
Yes.
Oh my god, I'm watching it.
Yes.
They're so much more jolly.
They are so much more jolly, and also they're just nicer, like...
Just kind, yeah.
Like, whoever, like, you know, the family that loses, I feel like if it were a US show, the family who loses would be super, like, pissed and, like... you know, obnoxious, but like they're all so cordial in this. I'm like, oh, I love it.
The judges are usually nicer too.
Yeah. There is also a new season of The Great British Baking Show, by the way, on Netflix.
There is? What?
Season 4.
On Netflix?
Baby.
On Netflix.
Oh my god.
I'm all over that.
All right. You weren't planning on sleeping tonight, right? Because I was going to say,
what? Tomorrow. There you go.
Awesome.
What about you? Madison or
my shout out this week is for a documentary that I watched a few days ago. I've been watching a lot of like different health documentaries over the past year or so, and this is the first time I watched this one. It's called What the Health, and it is probably the most comprehensive documentary I've watched. It cites a lot of sources, a lot of studies, and it has a lot of experts in their field speaking on it, which I feel like some documentaries, especially ones to do with health, are a lot of just people's opinions. And this one really, like, showed the evidence behind what they're promoting, which is basically to cut all meat and dairy products out of your diet to live... to have the most healthy lifestyle possible. It's the meat and the dairy and the processed foods that are causing diseases, and cutting them out can prevent and reverse the diseases that we're getting from them. And it's very powerful. It talks about not only the health aspects of that lifestyle, but also the environmental impacts of industrialized farming and the cruelty that exists in industrialized farming. And It was a very powerful documentary. I've actually watched it twice, and I'm going to make Subi watch it with me tomorrow when he gets home from work. And highly recommend it. Even if you don't want to, you know, do everything that they promote, I think just knowing about it, knowing about the benefits of living that kind of lifestyle is just good to know.
Oh, I think I'm the only doesn't live that lifestyle in this group.
What was that?
I think I'm the only one in this group who doesn't already live that lifestyle.
Well, There's still time for you, Jamie.
Are you shaming me?
No, not at all.
I'm just kidding.
And I don't.
Does it make you want to? Oh, good.
Oh, what, Bethany?
Does it make you want to go back to being vegan?
Well.
Well.
I have made that decision, yes, that yeah. I am going to. Because really, I was vegan for about 8 months, and I loved it. I felt so healthy, and the only reason I really stopped was because I met Subi, and
hello.
He didn't ask me to or anything, but I just felt like I was going to be limiting us at the start of our relationship if I couldn't do anything that normal people do when they start dating, like go out to eat. And so I started eating dairy again and some fish, like seafood products, for that reason. And yeah. I've been sick a lot since then, and like I want to go back to whole foods, plant-based diet, as they like to call it, because they also like are promoting removing processed foods that, you know, might be vegan technically, but they're still like complete crap for your body kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but you know the other thing that changed since then?
What? What's that?
You've been hanging around Subi more.
Maybe I'm allergic to that.
Maybe. That'd be unfortunate.
Yeah, it'd be worth it.
Oh. Yeah, I'll give a shout out to Madison for being so. Oh.
But that's not really your shout out.
Yeah. No. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, real cute, but.
Thanks.
I actually have two shout outs. So my first shout out is to that show American Vandal. I already shouted it out earlier. But
we'd only watched half of one episode at that
still
time.
Still good.
Yeah, and it's like a parody of those true crime documentaries like Serial and Making a Murderer. Yeah. And the premise is that it takes place in high school, and the crime is that someone has spray-painted dicks onto all the cars in the faculty parking lot.
Oh my gosh, that's right. I saw previews for
is,
that.
Yeah. It is. So it's, good.
And I thought it was for real at first. And then I'm like, wait.
Like, hold on a sec.
It's so good. Like, it's literally better than Serial. Yeah. I'm not even, like, exaggerating. Oh. And like, it
you would think it would be, like, quirky and stupid, but it's not. It's so
wait,
good.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, for real.
And it seemed like the stakes would be really low, you know, like, in actual true crime documentary, it's always a murder,
right.
And in this one it's just spray painted dicks, but the stakes turn out to be quite a bit higher than you'd think.
Yeah, and you get like really attached to the characters, mm-hmm. and like, I mean, there are moments where they like to talk about the dicks, and it's a little bit like funny, and like it brings you back to realizing that this is not actually a real crime, but like it's really, really well done.
It's probably my favorite Netflix show.
Like, yeah, and Netflix has a lot of good originals.
Wow. Yeah,
they do have a pretty good set. Did you guys watch Big Mouth yet?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, so Big Mouth is an animated show that's all about these kids like going through puberty, and it has like a puberty monster and things like this. But it's so, I think it may be a bit too grotesque for Justin and Bethany's taste.
But oh, so one of those like Madison, when you say animated show, this is like a Family Guy.
It's kind of like it's like
okay, so what is
it's
this
definitely
called?
An
well,
adult
the tagline
show.
Was like Big coming mouth. Of age all over the place.
Yes. Uh-oh. It's called Big Mouth.
Coming to age all over the place.
Oh, that was like their tagline on the billboard in Pittsburgh.
Oh. It's definitely there are definitely episodes about like masturbation. The name of the first
right,
episode
I'm
is called
watching.
Ejaculation. So I think you'd find it hilarious. Okay.
Cool. So that was just a recommendation for me. Thanks.
Yep.
And my other shout out is for this article I read today called it's called In the Land of Vendettas That Go On Forever.
Oh my.
It's about Albania and its honor culture. And, like, it's a very violent culture, and, like, they have these codified rules of how to behave if someone kills, like, when a murder takes place. Like, they'll seek justice, not through the courts, but through vendettas. And it was a really good article. I find honor culture so fascinating. Like, the American South kind of has an honor culture.
Mm-hmm.
and other places around the world that where there's a lot of violence, they tend to have honor cultures, and Albania is one of them. And the article is so well written. It's a long article, but it's not longer than it needs to be. It's in the Virginia Quarterly Review. It's called "In the Land of Vendettas That Go On Forever."
Is it free to access?
Indeed? Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Really good.
Cool.
So for these these articles and this honor culture thing, is this what is the take of the article on this?
It's kind of just horrified. I mean, it doesn't endorse the honor culture. Mm-hmm. It thinks that, you know, a judiciary and a legal system is a better way of exacting justice. But it really portrays a sympathetic portrait of why the honor culture exists and the people caught up in it.
So it tries to be as unbiased as possible when writing it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
That's interesting.
Mm. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Justin?
So I honestly haven't been doing anything but play Super Mario Odyssey. This game is so amazing. So I started noticing this. I shouted it out last week, and I used the word joy to describe it. Yeah. In every single review that I have seen since then, they've used the word joy to describe it. It is so, just... There's a scene at the end, right before the end credits, there's a scene that happens, and, while it's happening, it's just, this is just the peak of how I can feel amazing in a video game. It's something that, if I understand why, I understand why people don't play video games. And it's one of those things where it's I just wish that I could impart this. If you do one thing video game related, it's play Super Mario Odyssey and then get to the end. Because, it is an experience that I think, if you go to the top of the Himalayas or whatever, and you look out and you see this, incredible scenery. That's the feeling that you get, this soul-shaking feeling of joy. It is so incredible. But I'm not going to break the rules. I'm not going to shout it out again. So instead, what I'll do is shout out a podcast that talked about Super Mario Odyssey.
Okay.
Because I've shouted out a lot of Easy Ally stuff before. This is a different group of people. This is a group of people that work at IGN, and their Nintendo podcast is called Nintendo Voice Chat.
Okay.
With Damiani?
No, this is so IGN is this huge entertainment. I mean, they're on Disney Channel and stuff. They're big now. No, it's hosted by a guy named Pear something.
Pear.
Perry? He's German.
Oh, okay.
It's just P-E-R, pronounced pear, the fruit. Uh-huh. And a guy on it, Zachary Ryan, who's like Kyle Bossman a lot. Only a little more snide and cynical. Yeah, it's really good. It's a really good podcast. Other than Easy A, Nintendo Voice Chat's the one that I like to keep up with the most.
Cool. So they just talk about recent releases then?
Yeah, so I tried to listen to some other podcasts like the Game Informer show, mm-hmm. and I don't remember what the other one I listened to. The reason I don't like listening to them is because they're just reviews.
Okay.
And it's if I wanted a review of a game, I would go on your site. What I want to hear is you talking about what it's living a life where you play games. And so there's a lot of that. They'll bring up a news story or something, mm-hmm. and they'll explain how that, what they think about that and how they think that'll affect the life of somebody who plays games.
Cool. Very cool.
And then they talk about Super Mario Odyssey.
The game to play.
Yeah.
Cool. So that gives us a lot, not us, well, us and everyone else, things to check out in the interim.
Some serious and some light.
Yeah, serious light. Some grotesque as well. And so, yeah, join us next time then for episode 4 of season 3, which is called Grief Counseling. And we will... you will hear us then. Oh, I do it every time. We'll see you then.
Malfunction.
All right. Bye.
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 Bye.